go ahead and leave a comment about how you deal with your children leaving home while I recover.
Honey, I raised the kids.
Our kids leaving the nest is never easy. So in order to cope, Jason and Rachel have decided to share the journey of their kids, Caleb and Ariel, or Bees as most know her. Follow the story in this podcast.
Honey, I raised the kids.
Hey, there it is, episode 02 of Honey, I Raised the Kids. Thanks for being here. My name's Jason Bailey. Here's my wife, Rachel.
Hey, y'all.
As the internet has famously called us, Ray J.
Yeah, I like it.
I like J. Ray a lot better.
Nope. I come first.
There's already a Ray J out there. He's the guy that did a porn with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy is.
Maybe, actually, people will think I'm Ray J.
Ooh. Yeah. I like it, Ray J. See?
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
You know, with Easter this past weekend, we were talking about moving forward as we get ready to become full-time empty nesters, you know, with the Bees leaving for the University of Alabama in the fall.
Roll Tide.
That there's going to be that day where, and we haven't yet, but there will be that day in the very near future.
Nope.
That we will be celebrating a holiday without the kids, both the kids.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It is going to happen. No. It's called life.
Why do you have to be like that?
We've already done it with Caleb.
Yeah, but he left early for Christmas. He was here and then he left. It made me sad. I didn't like it.
Yeah, but we've celebrated numerous Easters without Caleb.
Yeah, Easter's okay. I still send him something.
Yeah, but we celebrated Thanksgivings without Caleb.
I don't like your point. It's not my favorite.
Well, if you're going to hang out for however long we're going to do this episode, you better contribute because that's what's going to happen.
I don't think it's a good idea. I think we should just make a rule for them that they have to come home.
No, it's going to be it's going to happen. And I see it happening. And I've already told Bees this. I said, you know, with this boyfriend, this fluffy-haired kid that she's going out with, I can see before she graduates the phone call of her saying, hey, I'm going to go to fluffy-haired's house for Thanksgiving. I don't think she'd do it for Christmas, but I could see her doing it for Thanksgiving, for Easter.
I think murder might happen.
No, well, yeah. Who are you going to murder?
All of them.
No, you can't do that. you're gonna have to accept it, and you're gonna have to move forward with it.
I think his dad is gonna have to be besties with you.
What, the fluffy haired kids?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then they all always have to come to our house.
We're inviting the parents to our house.
Well, yeah, because I'm not sharing her.
she's good. Bees won't do it, I don't think, with Christmas.
No.
Until she graduates. But
that's made me so sad.
But I think I see it coming because like when you're, you know, that age and you're in a serious relationship, that's like the ultimate we're together is to celebrate a holiday
and with the other family.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Do you remember the first time you celebrated a holiday without your family?
I don't think I've ever done that.
What do you mean?
I mean, now that we're adults.
But there had to be a first time between the times that you did do it, between the times you were an adult. There was a first time.
So, yeah, probably with you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, for sure.
So you didn't celebrate it until you became an adult.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. It was not as a teenager. No, because I had the kids.
So the kids needed the grandparents.
I had Caleb at 16.
Yeah. So the kids had the holidays with the grandparents.
Yeah.
I was, you know, in college I was doing it, but that was just because I had nowhere to go. You know, I wasn't, if I wasn't talking with my mother, I mean, I celebrated Christmas Eves at Hooters, Christmas Days at strip clubs. And, you know, I
gave you a family to love.
But even when I had a girlfriend, a serious girlfriend, and they invited me to their house for the holidays, it always made me feel awkward and uncomfortable.
Because she didn't have fun little children to play with.
Well, that and just because
maybe
I didn't know how to act, you know. So it's tough when you think of your kids not being around for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really difficult because you start to think of what the holidays were like, and they're so much better when they're younger.
So much more fun. You like know. Easter, when we did Easter baskets very different than how you did Easter baskets. And then they now have a new tradition and expect that their Easter baskets should be hidden.
Because you did them wrong up until where you got lucky and met me.
I didn't do it wrong. You just thought that you were right. So now that is our tradition of you being right.
Please, for those that are listening to this, feel free to have this conversation on social media. It's the way you do it. You hide. Well, I'm sorry. The Easter bunny.
The Easter bunny. Yeah. Good.
Hides the basket. And when the kids wake up, they have to find the basket.
It's a fun hide and seek event.
Right. Normally the baskets are behind doors and closets. They're not 6 feet underground or anything like that. But the Easter bunny does that. That is a tradition for all. That's how it's done.
I disagree with you because that's not how you, I mean, first of all, the Easter bunny has to put the Easter baskets together and is up all night long doing all of those fun preparatory things. And then when the Easter bunny might be tired, he or she goes to bed and you hunt for the Easter eggs outside and you find the Easter baskets on the dining room table.
I agree. You do hunt for Easter eggs.
Outside.
Well, you can do it inside.
You hide them. Yeah, or inside if it's raining. Yeah.
I agree. But it's the Easter basket behind, you know. Anyway, that was the good stuff, right? You'll hear me say that a lot. That's the good stuff. And to wake up and have them so excited.
So excited.
Christmas Day, you know the holiday starts to change the later they sleep in.
Oh, I know. When I have to go and wake them up.
Right. Yeah. That's when you know things are changing.
Yeah.
Is the later they sleep.
Mm-hmm. When they're like, oh, we'll do it when we get up. Well, let's go ahead. No, you know when it is when you come downstairs for Christmas and it's cool that we have breakfast, we chill, have coffee, whatever, hang out. And then, yeah, we'll eventually get to the prizes.
Yeah, that was my number two, is when they were okay with eating first.
Yeah. That's so true.
That's when
it's so true.
And oddly enough, when I was a kid, I would do everything I possibly could to wait before I opened up any of the prizes.
Yeah, but I think you're the only one on the planet that feels that way.
I possibly could. I just, ever since I was a kid, I mean, no matter what age, I was always uncomfortable opening up prizes, gifts. I call them prizes, but I was always uncomfortable. So if anything I could do to push it, that's why I liked Christmas Eve better than Christmas Day. And that took a new meaning when I became a father. You know, when I stepped into y'all's lives, that whole thing of me waiting and wanting to wait changed, you know, cause I like to give more than I like to receive. But when, you know, Caleb and Ariel came into my life, I wanted to push that day farther because I never wanted to end. So leading up until Christmas or leading up until Easter or Thanksgiving, namely Christmas, right? It was those 2 weeks, 3 weeks of going and looking at Christmas lights. It was Christmas shopping. It was
all the fun activities,
all the ice skating rink and whatever it may be, going up to when we were in Georgia, up to the mountains or something like that. It was all those things that you would absorb those 2 or 3 weeks leading up until Christmas Day. And then, you know, kids are very about them right on Christmas Day. It's just like, I hope I got my iPad. I hope I got my computer. And it's,
I think they're about them until like 30.
Right. So that's fine. You know, that's what the kid is all about. You know, that's fine. But when it's done, it's done. And after they've opened everything up, Christmas is done.
And just go and play with their stuff.
And they just go, or whatever the case may be.
You won't see them for the rest of the day.
But there's none of that Christmas spirit with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm saying. There's none of that Christmas spirit with the kids. So that sucks, you know. And now, again, with bees being the last to leave the nest, is that I'm sitting here going, when is that time going to come and how's it going to feel?
Never.
And you can't keep saying never because you know it's going to happen.
You know, I think I'm going to have a midlife crisis. I've decided right now.
Well, I think this is why we're doing this podcast, because you have already started a midlife crisis.
Do you want to join me?
No,
we could do it together.
I got to be honest with you. I think I've already hit my midlife crisis at some point in my life.
Oh,
I think I'm already past.
It's my turn.
It's definitely your turn. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it.
Have you thought about how you're going to feel, and are you going to say no, or are you going to just be sad and not let her know it?
No, she'll know. Oh, she'll know. She knows everything. I'll tell her.
You're going to tell her.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely.
So you're going to make her feel bad.
Yep.
And cancel her plans.
Yep.
Do you think that's a little selfish?
Nope. Not at all. I have been selfless for 23. Caleb will be 23 this week. And selfless for 23 years? No. I can be selfish sometimes. It's okay.
So you're going to kill all of her plans?
Yep.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, done.
That's
what can you take me to the beach somewhere or something? Like,
well, I just that's not like you
to, I know.
To do that to her. I mean, I don't know if you're gimmicking it out or not, but no. That's not like you to do that to her. So
but
I'm
don't
surprised.
You want her here with us too?
I do, but I understand that at some point in time we have to accept it. I mean, that's the whole point. At some point in time, everything that we don't want to accept with being empty nesters, we're going to have to accept in order to move on with all of our lives.
So I feel like rules moving forward should be that maybe if I have to accept them having plans and I guess an adult life, we really need to make some plans to go to the beach.
Who, you and I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You and
okay, so if you and I go to the beach, then you would be okay with her celebrating a holiday somewhere else?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to the Bahamas.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then that's what we'd have to do. I mean, like, my point is, Rach, is that you have to accept at some point that she's going to do that. So I know, I think you're kind of gimmicking it out here and you're playing it up, but when she comes up and says, hey, look, how would you feel? Are you honestly going to say, I'm upset, I don't want you to go? I don't think that's what your response would be.
I don't think that I would tell her I don't want her to go. I would tell her that it makes me sad.
You're doing what your mother does to you now.
That it makes me sad?
You're making her feel bad for decisions she's making in her life.
She's going to do whatever the hell she wants anyway.
No, she won't. Bees won't. Bees, unlike you, she won't do it out of spite.
No, Bees, not out of spite, but if that's what she wants to do, she'll do it.
I disagree. Ariel will not do that. If you make her feel bad enough, she will change her plans to come home.
Okay.
And then you're going to regret it, because she's going to rebel and she's going to become angry at some point because you did that. I'm just telling you, that's how it's going to play. So I don't think that's what your response is going to be. I really don't. I honestly don't.
You think I'm just going to cry behind closed doors?
Yeah. I mean, she's going okay. to, I don't think you're going
Are
to.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah. I mean, no, but yeah, that's the whole point of this conversation, is that you have to accept it at some point in time. And I think if you accept something, especially in this world of becoming empty nesters, mm-hmm. in your head, if you kind of foreshadow it and you kind of visualize what it's going to be and how it's going to feel, even though you're probably only getting maybe 40% of it, then the blow is a lot lighter when it actually happens. So when it does happen,
I figure out how to accept it.
Yeah. And before she graduates, when this does happen, mm-hmm. I can walk away and say, I told you so. And
you like to do that.
And say, I told you so. And I was mm-hmm. like, I saw that coming.
Yeah.
And to me, that softens the blow. I mean, that's why, I don't know if anybody's figured this out yet, but especially the radio stuff, when we do the other podcast, when I talk about,
Kind of Nostradamus.
Right. I do that to soften the blow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not being...
I feel like you do a good job of it.
Right. It's not being pessimistic. It's being realistic and softening the blow of knowing what bad thing is coming.
Well, you see all the signs and you just make sense of... what is going on? I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make me like it any better. But I feel like as long as we can have a plan, the beach being the plan, let's go on a trip.
Yeah, the distraction is definitely, I agree, the distraction is definitely good.
I think it's a necessity.
And I don't know why it's so different. Again, maybe another question that y'all listening can answer is so different for guys, for boys, you know?
Oh, when, so easy.
I mean, I don't know if everybody knows the story, but what Rach was referring to 1 year when Caleb left before Christmas is because I kicked him out of the house.
Yeah, it was intense.
He was being a total dick.
Yeah, he was a teenage boy with testosterone flowing through his veins. Misery.
Just really unhealthy at our house. It was destroying everything. It was destroying the Christmas spirit. It was bothering Ariel. It was bothering the dogs. It was bothering me. It was bothering Rach. It was, and I will not let one person, no matter who they are, dictate the vibe in my house. And I just had to do some hard love. And we packed his stuff, his prizes and stuff in a couple suitcases, and we shipped them off and sent them back to Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, lesson learned. Don't be a dick during the holidays.
And he hasn't been. I think it was, you guys are good now.
Oh, we're great now. Yeah. You know, we're great now.
He talks to you more than he talks to me. And I talked to him the other night, and he's like, oh, I was in the hospital today.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he was in the hospital. Well, for a kidney stone, right?
Yeah, for a kidney stone. And I'm like, you kind of want to let me know these things?
Have you said anything to either one of the kids about the holidays and, you know, like even Christmas or Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff like that and Easter? Like, I don't think Caleb cares, but
he doesn't. He just literally is like, whatever about everything.
Now, Ariel, I will tell you, will, even if she makes that decision, mm-hmm. to not be with us during that first time during the holidays.
I really don't, like, out of maybe some holidays, but Christmas, I don't think she'll make that decision.
At some point, she's going to. She's not going to be having Christmas with us every year. When she gets married, she has a family.
When she gets married.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Eventually, it's going to happen. Follow along.
Baby steps.
I know the first time is going to be very difficult for her as well.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be like torture for her.
It's going to be tough for her. And so, like, we're all kind of in the same boat together. You know, Caleb, again, different story. Boys are different. Guys are different.
Because boys know everything. And you're like, cool, dude, you go ahead. Know everything.
Well, you know, for Christmas, you know, guys just, it's just in our DNA. I don't know. Like, we can get up and go to the refrigerator and grab a sandwich and sit down and watch football or basketball or whatever's on TV, watch a movie and
be fine,
have a couple drinks and just wait for the day to be over, and the day's over and the next day, and you just start all over again, and it never happened.
Right.
Girls, obviously a lot different, especially
we get more gooey.
Right. There's more feelings there. And Ariel, look, there's like probably with a lot of you, they're just different relationships with your kids. Caleb's was a very rocky road for many, many years into his teenage years. And now everything is good.
Yeah, I figured it out.
But he's a different kid. You know, he's got a touch of the tism.
He's got a touch of the tism. We got touches of tisms in this house.
Yeah, so he's just a different kid than Ariel. Yep. Ariel is very much a mama's girl. Mm-hmm. She's a daddy's girl to an extent, too. But she's a homebody. I mean, she's going to work today, and we're saying, hey, well, let's go watch that new Ghostbusters movie. I mean, she's 18 years old. And
she likes to hang out with us.
She does. And she says, I can't wait. Let's go. Wait for me to get off work and we'll go. Yeah. She likes to go out to dinner. She likes to hang out at the house.
When you raised a house full of teenage girls, because all the cheer girls, all of her little besties, we had a house full of teenage girls all the time. And they all think of us as parents. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if they come home they want to come home for Sunday dinners. They like to hang out with us. Mm-hmm. Kinsey has a book of things that you say at the dinner table.
Well,
you know, like they like to hang out with us. She likes to hang out with us.
I'm just sitting here thinking in my head, I'm going, what's that day going to be? What's that holiday going to be?
I might need drugs.
Where we know that she's not there. Let's just say it's Thanksgiving.
Oh, so sad.
And we're just having Thanksgiving at the house. Or, you know, you know what? Even worse, if we were to have Thanksgiving with our family,
And she's not there.
And she's not there.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry right now.
That's
like,
even
literally going to cry.
That's even worse. Because then you have like constantly everybody going, where's Bees? Where's Bees? Where's Bees?
Oh, she went to go hang out with her little friend.
Right. And then they're thinking, or you're thinking, they're thinking, wow, you guys are bad parents. Why wouldn't she want to hang out with you guys? Why wouldn't she want to be here for Thanksgiving?
You think somebody's going to say that about me?
In their head. In their head, they're going to do it.
God.
In their head, they're going to think that your child is not here. It'd be different if it were nobody there. Like if it were just you and I celebrating Thanksgiving.
Okay. We have rules now. We definitely have to go on trips. If the kids are not coming home, we're leaving.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. I think that's a very, very good idea.
Take me away.
And you know what we do? Okay. This is something that it's just going to be a secret between us.
Ooh, tell me. I'm ready.
Okay. We're going to go somewhere that they would love to go.
I know. I already know.
Right. So here's the thing is.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Here's the thing is I just think I figured it out. In order to get through becoming an empty nester, it's almost like you have to do things out of spite and revenge.
To entice them. Look what you're missing out on.
Right.
We're so fun.
We have to do things that you're almost in competition with your own kids.
We're going to win.
Like you're saying, look, okay, done. You go hang out with fluffy haired guy and then you rub it in their face after they break up and you go, you know what?
You missed out.
Those 2 years that you were hanging out with him, we really would have loved to have had you when we went to London or the islands or the Bahamas or, you know, wherever it is that we went.
Cabo. Hawaii.
Yeah. You know, all those places that we went.
To go.
And I know that you had to go to Nerdy Con with him because he wanted to go and get the
is it because he's smart?
Yeah,
he's because he's smart.
Yeah, he's science con.
Yeah,
is it what he's becoming a neurosurgeon?
Yeah. You gotta know all the smart things.
All right, so Brain Con. I know you went there to support your man.
Wait to go to Brain Con,
and you went to Brain Con with fluffy haired guy. Oh, but God, you really missed out. We were in the Bahamas.
And when they're all adults and old enough to have fun.
And we're sitting there and it's like, I was like, so I became best friends with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And, and we're sitting there at Bahamar and
T-Swizzle just said she wanted to be your bestie, but you're not here.
And I was telling her how we went to her concert when you were 8 or 9. And she's like, oh my God, I love if she was here so we could talk about that. And I was like, no, she's hanging out with this dude. So anyway, we spent the whole week with them on their boat. Fantastic boat. Great vessel. And so you might be able to get to meet him. Trav is going to have us come out to one of the games.
Yeah.
By that time, he'll probably be retired. No, actually not. He probably's got a couple years left in him. So we're probably straight. All right, we're good. But that's what, I know, jokes aside, like that's what we have to do.
Let's go.
In order to, like, we're figuring this out with every word that we speak. So in order to become successful empty nesters, it's almost like you have to have some type of heat, as like a sibling rivalry.
Game on.
With your own Ready. Child.
Yes.
So they're jealous of the things that you're doing without them.
Oh, this is a great idea.
Oh my God.
Done. You're brilliant. See? Yeah,
I really do.
Nostradamus.
I think that's a great idea.
I knew it.
All right. Well, let's finish this up. At least we did have an Easter with Bees.
We did. Yeah.
We did not good. With Caleb.
No, we sent him stuff, though. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah, he's at the house on
I'm pretty Oxy. Sure this upcoming Thanksgiving will be fine.
We'll be fine. Christmas will be fine.
Christmas will be fine. Then that's when it turns on to game.
Oh, I have to breathe.
Going into 2025.
Start planning trips now.
Is when we really need to start thinking about having
awesome trips.
Amazing trips. because that's what people do, right? I mean,
I'm ready.
We like to be with our kids.
Yeah.
So when we hear other couples and other parents and they're saying, oh my God, I can't wait for them to get out of the house. There's so many things that we want to do.
You're so full of it.
Well, no. They're not. That's what I'm saying is they're not full of it.
We're full of it if I ever said that.
Because we were the opposite, thinking that we never wanted them to leave.
Yeah.
But now they're going to leave, so we've accepted that. So now we get to do all these fun things that all these other empty nesters are doing.
So I can still, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see.
So would you rather take a trip to the Bahamas to go to the beach for a week without any kids and no distractions? Or do you want bees home for Thanksgiving?
I want bees home for everything.
Would you rather be on the beach for a week in the sunshine?
Oh, this is a trick question.
It's not a trick question. Would you rather have bees home for a week? I mean, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or would you rather for a week be in the Bahamas or Hawaii or something, laying on a beach, being waited on hand and foot, taking trips to the spa to get a massage?
Fine. You sold me. Let's go.
You, in just episode,
yeah,
in less than 30 minutes, you have now admitted that you're okay.
I'm not okay with it. You bullied me into it.
With our daughter not being with us for the holidays.
I'm not okay with it. I'm still not okay with it. I'm trying to be in our game on. Let's go. Our competition, right?
You're not okay with it, but you're okay with it if you're on the beach.
If it's a competition, yes.
It is a competition.
All right. I'm in.
Then you're at the beach.
Let's go to the beach. Is this part of my midlife crisis?
No, I just think that's being human being, to be honest with you.
Oh,
I think that's just like weighing your options, going, you know what, it's going to happen. I might as well take the beach.
Let's go to the beach.
That's great.
And then I win, right?
I got to be honest with you. All the stuff that we talk about, not only in this podcast, but on the BS, like that is the most brilliant end to a point, like starting somewhere and ending somewhere that I think I've ever had. Well, I've had a very long time, let's just say.
You did good.
At Listen to the BS, thebaileyshow.com. Please, I mean, these are free Bay episodes, but we do have a subscription base for the Bailey Show podcast. And sometimes we have what I call sub extras, pop up episodes like we did on Friday with Mike the Situation Sarantino from Jersey Shore. Cool conversation, great dude. So please support the cause and sub, and it's all kinds of good stuff. Give us a like, share, follow on social media. At Listen to the BS on YouTube, where we'll post these episodes as well. So not only can you get it wherever you get your podcast, but The Bailey Show on YouTube, you can get that. For my lovely wife, Rachel, myself, or Ray J.
Ray J, I like it.
Ray J.
That's what we're going with. Hashtag Ray J.
Hashtag Ray J. Until next time, we'll talk then. Hey, bye.
I realize not everyone feels this way. And if you are okay with this stage of your life, honestly, more power to you.
Thanks for listening. Get more information and episodes on thebaileyshow.com.
Honey, I raised the kids.